I want to talk to you this morning on the topic, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. For the last few months, the Lord has really been speaking to me from that portion of scripture in the Gospels and also in the book of 1 Corinthians that tell us about the Lord's Supper, about the Last Supper, as it's called sometimes, where God in Christ gets together with his disciples at Passover, and they consider everything that has happened and everything that is going to happen. It's around the time where Jesus is going to the cross. He's about to die. And he makes it very clear that as he is bruised, there will also come a time of pain and anguish for all of his followers. The scriptures says, if you smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. So at the time that Jesus is speaking to his disciples, there are many things that are going on in the outside community. Jesus knows, and his disciples know, that it's about to get very, very difficult. That the hard times are coming. That the trial is right at the door. Now, the strange thing about it is, at the same time that there is clearly going to be some of the most significant trials of their life, based on what the Holy Scriptures say, it is a time for them to get together and to celebrate. It is the time of the Passover. And the Passover is a celebration of God's great victory. God said to Israel many years prior to that date that he was going to free them from the bondage of Egypt, and that there was going to be a beginning of days, that their new life was starting. And so while they were in Egypt, not after they had crossed the Red Sea, but while they were in Egypt, while all of the danger was still all around them, while there was still vestiges of the oppression of the enemy, God gave them an opportunity and a mandate to celebrate his great victory. He told them to celebrate his deliverance while there was still danger. He told them to rejoice in what he has done while he was still in the process of doing it. And again, this was not simply an invitation. This was a command. This was a mandate. God was saying, celebrate my victory, even though there is reason to fear. Celebrate my victory because the reason to fear is never as great as the reason and the right to rejoice. So what God is saying to his people in the time of the Passover, the original Passover, he's also saying to his people at the time of the Last Supper or the Communion Supper, and of course he's also saying to us in our generation today, that even though there might be reasons to be afraid, the reason to rejoice, the reason to celebrate God's great victory, the reason to trust is always greater. So now you see the disciples. They are in this setting of celebration. The mandate and the invitation to celebrate is all around them. And they get together the way you would ordinarily do at Passover. And you recount the great victory of God. You recount the great deliverance of God, the great liberty and the freedom that comes from God. You recount the fact that God has brought us out of bondage and into freedom. You recount the fact that he has brought us from slavery to liberty. And as they're sitting around the table, and as they are recounting that, there is still something in their heart. It's as that old expression goes, there's the elephant in the room. Do you know what I mean? That big thing that cannot be avoided no matter what else they're talking about. That thing that says what happens when these doors open. It's nice for us to be in this room and celebrating the goodness of God and the grace of God. But what happens when these doors open and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and the Romans and everybody else begins to flood in our direction and the cross begins to loom the way that it does and all of the hardships and the difficulties comes? What happens when I have to face these kinds of things? It's easy for me to recognize the responsibility to celebrate, but how do I celebrate when in the depths of my heart there's this thing that says, am I going to fail when the going gets rough? Now, nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to mention that. So they're sitting around this table and they're talking about all sorts of other things like who's going to be the greatest and so on and so forth. Or they're getting involved in the ritual of the day or whatever the case might be, doing the things that are prescribed in the law and so on and so forth. But nobody wants to talk about that. So Jesus talks about it. And he says to them clearly that before this night is through, every one of you is going to deny me. So he basically takes what's in everybody's heart and he brings it right out into the open. Everybody is saying, how am I going to do when the going gets rough? How am I going to do when these doors open? How am I going to do when I walk out into the thing that God is asking me to do and the person that God is asking me to be? How am I going to be? And Jesus said, I'll tell you how you're going to do. First and foremost, you're going to deny me. Now, notice he doesn't say you're going to betray me except to one person. Betraying Jesus and denying Jesus are two different things. Basically speaking, if we were to try to boil it down to a nutshell, the whole idea of betrayal is to say that Jesus is not who he says he is. That's what Judas did. He sided with those people who said Jesus is not the Christ. He's not the Savior. He's not the one that he says he is. That's betrayal. That's something for other kinds of people. But for us, there will always be at least the potential of us not denying that Christ is who he says he is, but sometimes denying that we are who Christ said we are. Getting to a place where the going gets rough and we don't feel like we have the grace to overcome. Getting to a point where the going gets rough and we don't feel like the investment of Christ applies to us. So Jesus said there will come a time when you will sometimes forget who I've made you to be. But he says, I want you to understand that that's not all that's involved here. Because thank God, it is not us ultimately that matters. What ultimately matters is the covenant faithfulness of God. That's why Jesus said, if you deny him, he said through one of his apostles, he himself stays the same. If we deny him, he cannot deny himself. He remains faithful. So what we see happening here in this text, praise God, is the fact of Jesus' faithfulness in the face of our fears and in the face of our failures. So now Jesus speaks clearly to his disciples. says, you're going to have some times of failure. You're going to have some times when you don't live up to what I've made you to be. And you don't fully grasp what I've done in you. But he says that in the context of this supper, in the atmosphere of his covenant faithfulness, in the atmosphere of his love. I'll give you an idea of what it looks like in that setting. Everybody's worried. Everybody's wondering. Nobody knows how they're going to stand when the difficult time comes. Jesus says, look, I don't need anybody to play any games in front of me. Don't need anybody to act like they're something that they're not, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to come right out and tell you there's going to be some times when you do nice. Sometimes you don't do so nice. Sometimes you do great. Sometimes you don't do so great. But here's the bottom line. God is faithful. So the Bible begins, amen, starting out by saying that Jesus tells his disciples to celebrate who he is. Celebrate what he's done. Even if you are wondering or worrying, even if you don't know how you are going to do from time to time, the first thing that you and I have been given the opportunity to do, and again, the mandate to do, is to celebrate his faithfulness. That means that even when Jesus says to you and to me, there is still some growth and some development that needs to happen in you. There are still some things that I need to do in you. There are still some things that need to come out of you and still some things that need to go into you. It doesn't mean that the celebration stops. When Jesus speaks to his disciples in the midst of that Passover and tells them, you are not exactly where you think you are, or you are not exactly where you want to be. And I realize that I have a lot of gleaning. I have a lot of pruning. I have a lot of developing that has to go into you. He still says, but the party doesn't stop. The celebration doesn't stop. Because the celebration is not a celebration of my own righteousness. It is the celebration of the righteousness of Christ. It is not a celebration of my ability to free myself. It is the celebration of his ability and his willingness to free me. It's not a celebration of my capacity to bring myself from one point to another. It is a celebration of his capacity to do everything that he said he would do. So even though he might have to speak into our lives and say, I need you to grow here, and I need you to be developed here, and I need you to change here, the celebration of his faithfulness doesn't stop. We don't stop rejoicing in his goodness. We don't stop acknowledging the great favor of God upon our lives. We celebrate every single day the fact that he loves us and the fact that he draws us closer and closer to himself. We celebrate every day the fact that we have a living and a loving relationship with him. In fact, the fact that he chooses to bring correction into our life, and the fact that he chooses to speak into our situation and say, look, there is something that I want to say to you, or something that I want to relate to you, something that I want to invest in you. We are able to rejoice in that. That's not the same. Remind yourself always that correction is not the same as rejection. When God speaks a word of correction in our life, we ought to celebrate the fact that he's willing to speak to us, that he's willing to talk to us, that he's able to talk to us, that he's, now the cross is the reason that he's able to speak correction in our lives. So when he speaks correction, it's always in the context of celebration and always in the context of the cross. He'll speak a word of correction to us, but he says, don't let the party stop. Don't let the rejoicing stop. Don't let the praising stop. Don't let the worship stop. Don't confuse correction with rejection. The correction is an expression of his love. And so he says, whatever I bring into your life, whatever correction I bring into your life, understand it's in the context of celebration and in the context of the cross. That means it's in the context of forgiveness. So God can speak anything into my life. He can say, I don't like what you're doing here, or I don't like what you're thinking here, or I don't like how you're feeling about this thing or that thing, and we are going to change that. And at the same time, I know I am completely covered by the cross. I know that I am entirely forgiven. I know, for instance, when I go to the Lord and I say, God, have mercy on me, or forgive me for this thing or that thing, I'm not waiting to see whether or not God forgives me of this thing. I know that if God had not chosen to forgive me already, I would not have the grace or the desire to ask forgiveness. So if I go to the Lord and say, God, have mercy on me, it's because God has already had mercy on me. Hallelujah. Praise God. The fact that I can cry out and say, God, change me, suggests that he's already changing me. And so we go to God acknowledging, God, you have the right to bring correction into my life. I don't have to be afraid of how I'm going to do, how I'm going to be, because God has the right to make correction in my life, to bring correction in my life. And so that correction can come in the context of celebration. My celebration of who Christ is and what he's done never stops. I never stop praising him. Never stop blessing him. When he brings correction into my life, I don't feel like I need to run and hide from him. I don't feel like I need to get it together first. I don't feel like I need to celebrate my flesh by causing myself to believe I need to get it right in my own strength, and then I can find pleasure in the presence of the Lord. No, it's quite the opposite. When God brings correction into my life, I realize that the only way that that correction is going to take is if I persist in celebrating his goodness, celebrating his faithfulness, celebrating his grace. And I can only do that if I know that the correction comes in the context of the cross. That at the same time I'm being corrected, I am still within the embrace of forgiveness, the embrace of mercy, so I don't have to run from God. I don't have to make myself out to be something in the presence of God. I can be honest and I can be open, because not only do I know that that correction is coming in the context of celebration and in the context of the cross, but I also know it's coming in the context of covenant faithfulness. In other words, as we said earlier, God cannot deny himself. He remains faithful. So that he's saying to us as he's correcting us, God is not a fair weather friend. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. So he says, you can believe me when I tell you that I have to do certain things in your life to protect you. And I have to do certain things in your life to make it certain that when the going gets tough, you will be able to stand. I have to make certain corrections in your life. You don't have to worry about that. And you don't have to worry about the fact that when those corrections come, they come in the embrace of God's covenant loyalty, God's covenant love, God's covenant faithfulness. God is not going to turn his back on you. So he says, you can be absolutely certain that even though the going is going to get rough sometimes, they understood that everything was going to be tested. They were going to go through times of difficulty. They were going to be bereaved of a loved one. They were going to have their theology tested. They were going to be cast off by the society. All of the things that men and women go through, all of the things that they went through, the things that you and I go through. But what God says is you don't have to be afraid, because even though you might not always respond to those kind of challenges in the way that you would like, God responds according to his character. God is always going to stand by you. You might not always react to bereavement the way you want to, or to tests of your faith the way you want to, or to the way people treat you the way you'd like to. But you can be absolutely certain that God is going to stand by you. That God is going to take you by your hand, and God is going to lead you through this life. He's going to lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. You will never be on your own. You will never have to fend for yourself. You will never have to do anything in your own strength. The God that we serve is a covenant God. The God that we serve is a faithful God. The God that we serve is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry this morning about how you're going to deal when the going gets rough. All you have to concern yourself with is how God is going to deal when the going gets rough. Hallelujah. All we have to do is remember that God reserves the right to keep us according to his own wisdom. That means he reserves the right to speak into our lives and to say, I'm going to prepare you for the hard times. I'm going to prepare you for difficult times. But in the process of that preparation, in the process of that correction, in the process of that discipline, recognize that God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That your Father is not ashamed of you. That he chooses to walk with you. That he chooses to identify with you. That he chooses to call you brother. He chooses to call you sister. According to the Holy Scriptures. According to the letter to the Hebrews. That he is not ashamed to call us his brothers and his sisters. Even though he recognizes that there is a lot of growing up to do in us. He still speaks to us. He still takes us by our hand. This loving correction, this loving growth, this loving developmental process happens in the context of conviction as well, where the disciples hear him say, you're going to betray me, and they, or one of you are going to betray me, and they all begin to check their hearts. Now what that says is, even though they were going to have their trials and the difficulties, these were people who had no room in their heart for betrayal. Everything in them said, let me hear what God says, and then let me check my heart. As a result, even though they were going to go through their own trials, and they were going to make some mistakes, they were never going to deny that Christ is Christ. Because they allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction into their heart. They allow themselves to check their heart. They allow themselves to be searched by the Spirit. So that even through their ups and downs, they are always on the straight and narrow. Even though they might stumble and fall along this road, they never deviate from this road. The Christian life is a wonderful life. Even though it has its ups and downs, the ups and downs are sort of like this. Do you know what I mean? We are going through our ups and downs, but we're always going higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. Hallelujah. We might go through our difficulties, but we are on a trajectory. We are moving on a certain path, and we decide in our hearts that we will not betray God. That we will not ever deny that he is the Christ, which means he can always speak to us. He can always tell us, I want you to move from here to here. Or I want you to turn from this to this. Or I want you to put this thing away. Or I want you to take this thing up. And we will say, yes, Lord. Because there is this sense that he has the right to speak into my heart. Even if he's telling me things that I don't always want to hear. Even if he's saying to me that there is a potential that you will deny me, as long as I'm willing to hear him say there's a potential that you will deny me, then I never have to worry about betraying him. As long as I'm open to him saying to me there's something in you that needs to change, then I never have to worry about betraying him. So we hear the disciples receiving his correction in a spirit of godly conviction, where they were actually open to the Lord speaking something into their life that would help him. And they hear this correction in the context of community, of family. In other words, they recognize two things. One, they're not the only one that's going through a time of difficulty, and not the only one that needs to grow and needs to change. Everybody does. Every Christian is going to go through some trials, and every Christian on this side of eternity still has got some growing to do. Every single one of us. But the second thing that they realize is they don't have to do it alone, which means we help each other to grow. We strengthen each other along the journey. We choose not to be critical of one another, but to be helpful to one another. One of the things I love about this church is when we have the communion, we hand the elements of the communion one to another. So each person is symbolically imparting grace to the other person. Each person is symbolically reminding the other person of the cross. Each person is receiving it from somebody, and each person is giving it to somebody. Each person is receiving grace, each person is giving grace. Each person is receiving a reminder of the cross, each person is giving a reminder of the cross. Each person is recognizing that it's all about the cross. It's all about the Christ. It's all about the covenant faithfulness of God. So that each person can receive godly correction from each person. And each person can intend to love, bring a word of correction to each person. As long as it's done in tender love, as long as it's done in mercy and in grace, each person can speak into each person's life. And each person can receive from one another. We're not talking about a person coming over and laying hands and prophesying and this, that, and the other. But a person who you know, a person who you trust, a person who you've developed a friendship with, being able to speak a word every now and again. Not all the time, of course. Every now and again. Because we're a family. Because we're a communion. We're a community. And so we can receive from one another. And we can recognize that the godly correction that comes from the Lord comes in the context of covenant community. Now, covenant, of course, you know, is more than a contract. It is a relationship of love. It's a trust that says, if I say a thing, it's because I love you. And there is a trust that begins to develop. So Jesus speaks to his disciples. And he speaks to them in the context of covenant love. And he speaks to them as a family. And he says, in essence, to them that because each of you has a propensity toward failure, you have got to strengthen each other. Because each of you can identify with what it is to fail, you should be able to be patient with each other. Because every person in this room knows what it is to fall short of the glory of God. We should be merciful when our brother or our sister falls short of the mercy of God. So we see Jesus addressing the fear that every person feels The fear that says, but my faith is about to be challenged. My theology is about to be questioned. Or I'm about to be physically challenged. In their case, their lives were on the line. Sometimes it's an issue of medical, or there is a sense of persecution, or whatever the case might be. They knew that they were going to be challenged. They knew that society was not going to receive them the way that they would like to be received. When they walked out of those doors, they knew there was going to be a challenge on their life. And every person was called to celebrate the goodness of God. And in that celebration, in the context of that celebration, there is that fear that says, what happens when I leave here? You know what it's like. You come to church on a Sunday morning, or whenever you come to church, and you're singing your songs before the Lord, and you hear something in your ear that says, but what happens when you leave here? What happens when you go home to this person or that person who doesn't love the Lord? What happens when you go to work tomorrow and you have to work in this community or that community where the Lord is not being worshipped? What happens when you go to the doctor and you get this news or you get that news? Or what happens when the finances look this way or look that way? What happens? So Jesus spoke what was unspoken. And he said, there will be times when you're not entirely up for the occasion. But don't worry, because my covenant love will fill whatever gaps might be in you. My covenant faithfulness will stand when you don't. My cross will cover you and protect you every step of the way. I have people for you who will be at either side of you to hold up your hands and to give you the strength to carry on. I have sent my word and I've sent my spirit. And even if you deny me, he said, I will never deny you. He said, amen. When he broke that bread, remember? He said, this is me for you. This is my life for you. This is my death for you. This is my resurrection for you. And he finally said, and I want to say this in closing, that you will proclaim my name until I come. See, he brought these words of correction in the context of commission. Said it might be difficult for you for a little while. Remember what he said to Peter? He said, you'll deny me for half a minute. He said, but then you'll come back. And you'll come back stronger than when you left. He said, then you'll be converted. He said, then you'll be converted and then you'll strengthen your brothers. In other words, what he said is you'll be changed. You'll go from glory to glory. From image to image. From grace to grace. From faith to faith. Because you serve that one who is from everlasting to everlasting, from the beginning to the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the author and the finisher, the bottom line, in other words. And because you serve him, you might have a time of difficulty, but you will win. You might have a time of difficulty, praise God, but you will take the victory. God will do what he needs to do to change us so that we can rise to the occasion. And in that process, we will worship him and bless him and we will not stop praising. And he said, but when it's said and done and you get past this point or past that point, you will show the Lord's death until he comes. In other words, you will preach his cross until he comes. You will fulfill the call of God upon your life. You will make a difference in the society. You will be used of God to change men and women. You will have a word when you come out the other side. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is with me. And then we can say, even in the presence of our enemies, there is still a table set before me. And we can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I know what God has called me to. I know what God is going to do in my life. There's more reason to rejoice than there is to fear. There's more reason to sing the songs of Zion than the dirges and the lamentations of this society. There's more reason to preach this gospel than to spread the gossip of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God has said to us, when we worry and wonder what's going to happen when we walk through those doors, he said, I'll tell you what's going to happen when you walk through those doors. You are going to proclaim the cross of Christ when you walk through those doors. You're going to talk about the faithfulness of God when you walk through those doors. You're going to talk about his covenant love when you walk through those doors. You're going to talk about the fact that you have a community of brothers and sisters who are willing to stand beside you when you walk through those doors. You're going to live a godly life when you walk through those doors. You're going to manifest the character of Christ when you walk through those doors. You are going to proclaim the cross of that great Savior when you walk through those doors. You are going to bear witness to the fact that heaven has come to earth when you walk through those doors. You are going to be revival when you walk through those doors. You are going to be light when you walk through those doors. You are going to be life when you walk through those doors. You are going to be hope when you walk through those doors, because God is walking with you. You never walk alone. You never walk in your own strength. You move by the power of God. In him we live and move and have our being. You are going to be revival when you walk through those doors. You are going to change the world when you walk through those doors. Hallelujah! You are going to give glory to God when you walk through those doors. Men and women are going to know that there is such an one as God when you walk through those doors. They will know that there is hope. They will know that there is healing. They will know that there is strength. They will know that there is salvation. They will know that there is such an one as Jesus. When you walk through those doors, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to wonder what's going to happen when you walk through those doors. Jesus told you what's going to happen when you walk through those doors. You will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You will bear witness to him until he comes. You will cause men and women to glorify him until he comes. You will be exactly who he said you were going to be. And I want to pray with you this morning. If for a moment or two you've allowed yourself to be afraid, and you wonder, what's going to happen when I leave this celebration? Some in you says, this is a time of celebration, and it's an invitation to celebration, and it's a mandate to celebrate. But what happens when the going gets rough and my faith is challenged the way the disciples were about to have that happen in their life when Jesus was taken from them? I can tell you, sometimes you're going to do better than other times. But God, he's going to do great every time. Hallelujah. He's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do in your life. You don't have anything to be afraid of. God is faithful, even when we're not. And his faithfulness makes us more faithful day by day, time by time, circumstance by circumstance. Glory to glory, image to image, faith to faith. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious Savior. What a wonderful Jesus. I want to pray with you this morning. If you've been worrying, you know that trying times are at the door, and you're saying, I don't know how I'm going to do. I guarantee you, God is going to do exactly what He said He's going to do in you and through you. And He just wants you to take comfort in that. On the ground floor, in the balcony, in the annex, in our various campuses and homes, if God is speaking to you, it's time to pray. In front of this auditorium is open. You say, God, it's a little bit difficult, and I just need you to wrap your arms around me. Comfort me and help me to know that you are who you say you are. And I'll be exactly what you've asked me to be and what you called me to be and what you're allowing me to be by your grace. Just come to the front of this auditorium, follow the ones who are coming. We'll take some time to worship and praise the Lord as you come. And then we'll pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you yourself is that reason. That reason to rejoice that's greater than any reason that we might have to fear. You are our courage. You are our encouragement. You are our strength. You are everything that we need. You are that friend that sticks closer than a brother. We can cling to you and know that you are holding us. Lord Jesus, you have made it so that even through our ups and downs, we are constantly moving higher and higher and higher in you. From grace to grace, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from image to image, because you are that one who is from everlasting to everlasting. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. You are the author and the finisher. God, everything is ultimately in your hand. And so we thank you that we don't have to fare in our own strength and we don't have to do anything on our own. We thank you that when these doors open, revival flows out. Revival flows into the street. Your people go forth with your word. We will see your name glorified. We will preach this gospel. We will make a difference. We will be the hope of this society. Your word says Christ in us, the hope of glory. We will stand. We will see your name lifted up once again. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are our life. Now, Lord, I pray your hand upon each one. Pray your strength, O Jesus. And the peace of God that passes understanding, we pray against all fear. And ask that your name be glorified. We love you, Lord Jesus. And we bless you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.